Well, hey there, this is Fish and Frank, and welcome to another Radio Fishing. I've got Captain Mike with us, and we've got Jeff over here, and we're going to talk about what to do when you get ready and you want to go out and fish on the beach. Just a little bit of info, and I'm not sure what else is going to happen, but we'll see. We'll get it all figured out here in a minute. Anyway, we got Jeff's over there on the side, and Jeff's kind of primarily boating, but you used to do a lot of land fishing.
Yeah, I was land bound for quite a while.
And Captain Mike over here, he's been, him and his wife go out to the beach, do a little shore fishing out there.
What do we do?
What do you do to get ready for that?
Pretty much just grab everything and put it in a car and head for,
What's everything?
Everything.
Okay, so this is a very short show, and thank you very much for listening to Fish and I Was Fishing. I think we're going to have to break this down a little.
Seeing how I do all the packing, you know, I can tell you I usually take a cooler with ice.
That's important.
I want to put my fish on ice right away if we're going to keep something, which normally we always do.
Now, even excluding, it's really, if you're going to fish down here, we see a lot of people trying to let the fish lay in the surf, you know, on a stringer, and it's like salmonella silly.
Lost fish that way, too.
You know, it's just, what is it?
I've lost fish like that, too.
Oh, yeah, other fish will come along, grab them, and off they go, because dolphins cruise right along the beach, big snook, sharks. They'll just come along, grab your fish, and God. But the water down here, right along the shoreline, you get a good hot day right along the beaches, and it's been real hot for a week, and not right now it hasn't, but if you get that real hot week, that shoreline water's almost hot. I mean, I wouldn't take my bologna and lay it in there for a half an hour and go eat it.
Right.
You know what I mean? Yeah. So keeping the fish to put your fish on ice is a really good deal, and it keeps them fresh, keeps them so they're good to eat. So you want to get a cooler that you can have enough room to put your fish in. I throw them in a plastic bag, just like one of the Publix grocery bags.
I like the bag, too.
Yeah, I throw them in there so that it doesn't get all over everything. I don't mind having fish slime all over my sodas, but you know, other people, you know, they're kind of wuss. You know? So what we've determined so far, and I understand why you guys listen to this, because now you know you need ice, a plastic bag, a cooler, and that keeps your drinks from being not slimy. See, this show is amazing. Look at the information you get.
It just keeps coming, you know.
More and better. So if we're going to go fishing, I think fishing poles?
Fishing poles work well, that helps a lot, you know. Mostly when we fish off the beach, we're just fishing on the bottom. I like to go out the end of Boca Grande Island, basically at the lighthouse park, and fish on the corner out there. A lot of guys tend to go down along the side, more towards where the old phosphate docks were, and fish in that area. Now, that can be good, too, but that's not primarily where I go, so I like the currents on the corner.
And they can be pretty strong going through that pass.
Oh, yes. On the corners, you're going to have, you're going to be able to throw up in the current and let your bait kind of drift down slowly with the current.
What was that?
Turkey call? My ringer.
I'm hearing these echoes in the background going, oh my God, what was that?
Let me just shut that off.
That's okay. And now, when you're rigging up, you just throw free line, or do you actually, what do you, sinkers?
I use an egg sinker above a swivel, and then about 3 foot, 30-pound leader. Fluorocarbon out there because it's really clear water. And a number one or one-aught hook.
Okay, now, me, I guess like everybody else, I'm kind of doing a lot of braided nowadays, 15, 20-pound braided.
Yeah.
Is that about what you're doing?
Yeah, I'm using running 20-pound braid.
Now, this is Captain Mike's first time.
Yeah.
And so he's nodding when I ask him questions.
This is true, yes.
No, what we're going to have to do is get more of a verbal response out of this.
Well, there we go.
Okay.
Well, I'm just completely
blindfolded.
Discombobulated.
There we go. We'll blindfold him. Yeah. We'll blindfold me. That way I can't see him nod.
Right.
Okay.
Exactly.
So we're using 15, 20-pound test braided, medium action, medium heavy.
Yeah. Medium heavy.
And 4,000 series reel, 40
series? Yeah, 4,000, 3,000, 4,000 series. And
so you don't need that 12, 14-foot pole to fish out there at Boca Grande.
No, no. Well, if you want to hit some deep water, you can. You know, you actually can. And there was a couple guys in here on Wednesday that had been out there and limited out on mackerel off the beach. So
they were using those big long rods.
They were probably using big long rods and getting a good cast off there. But they also said the mackerel are up pretty close to shore too. So,
because yeah. I do a lot of shore fishing, like along the beach. And were you using sinkers, using half ounce, ounce?
The smallest one I could use was either quarter or half.
Okay, because I'm, you know, when I go out there, I use my sinkers more for distance there than I do for, you know, getting me down. It's only 15 feet deep where I'm casting. I mean, the hook will take it to the bottom.
I like the jig heads. You know, you get a little color for attractiveness, and like you say, you don't need much on a weight.
Right. Our new Rockport rattling jig heads, they got the jig head with all the color, plus you got the rattle in them, so when you pop them, you can rattle it.
And you can dip them with shrimp or use a, you know, gulp or DOA bait with them. They work well with either one.
So. Yeah, I'm still kind of, I'm with Mike on this one. I like the separation. A lot of people are doing the jig head on the bottom because of the color, the sound now. And
it's easier.
All this stuff.
For a lot of people, it's easier.
Yeah, and you actually get a better distance out of it because when you have the weight and everything right at the end of the line, nothing it throws better.
Yeah,
right.
Nothing to snag up on its side.
Yeah, it doesn't get tumbling and twirling in the air, so you get a better cast, longer distance. But what you're doing is casting it in the current, letting it drift around the corner or just along the beach a little bit. That's why you're not using real heavy weights. You don't want to stay right there. No. You want it to move and find the fish.
I want it to go along, and basically, no matter which way the current's going to go, if you're on the corner out there, you're going to have an eddy on one side or the other. And a lot of times the fish will be sitting in that eddy where it just kind of swirls, and you can pick them up once it drops into that.
So you're casting into the current and letting the current take it to the eddy for you rather than dropping it in on top of their head. You're just kind of letting it drift in on its own.
A more natural presentation.
Yeah, well, that's nice. That's actually good thinking.
Yeah.
So now...
Well, it's like trout fishing up north to a certain extent. You know, you're doing the same thing with flies or nymphs or whatever you use there. You're trying to get it into the eddies behind the rocks or any kind of structure.
Yeah, just let it drift around with the current, and hopefully it gets caught up in that eddy right where the fish are waiting, laying in wait to eat. So when I go out there, I like going out to the beach, and I like snook fishing right along the shores.
That's what I do.
Yeah, knee-deep, cast parallel to the shore, because they're in that knee-deep water. I mean, it's surprising. If people ever really look down and see the amount of fish going through their legs during a given day, I think someone would think it cool, but I think a lot of them would just get out of the water.
I think they probably would, too.
I had a guy the other day told me exactly the thing. I said, was talking about a 10-foot pole he had, and I said, you're not going to need that down here. He said, well, that's what we use for stripers up in Maryland or Delaware or someplace. And I said, you know, the fish are up right along the shore. I said, the best thing you can do, Jeff was telling me, you go out about 20 or 30 foot in the water and fish back along the shore. And he says, I ain't getting in the water.
You got to get your feet wet sometimes.
I use that long pole so I don't have to get in the water.
Yeah.
I don't know, but it's Florida, the beach. You know, people come from all over the world to come here and go out and go to the
and
beach.
Enjoy the water.
Enjoy the water. I mean, if you wade out and then cast back at the shore, you catch a lot
of fish.
That's
probably
that
the funny thing, too, because I'll be at the beach, and like we stayed at the cottage, and I'll go out in the morning and set up the float bucket about 10, 15 feet offshore with a diving weight on it. So it's out there for me, and I can just use it. And I'm out there 20 or 30 feet, and I'm casting back at the people who are coming out, and they're casting back out to the Gulf, you know, and I'm catching Spanish mackerel, and I'm catching snook and redfish right along the shore, and they're looking at me like, what are you doing? You know, and I'm like, well, all the fish are right along the shoreline here. You know, they're chasing sand fleas and little bait fish that are swimming there.
And the ones like Spanish mackerel, I use those clear casting bubbles. You can fill them with water, and I'll either completely fill it with water or just leave a little tiny air pocket at the top, and that way I can just use a regular rod, but in the air, those things are amazingly heavy, and you can get a lot of distance out of it, put a little spoon behind it, and catch a lot of mackerel with that. You can even use a little jig head behind it, but I mostly use the little spoons. And once that casting bubble full of water hits the water, makes a nice big splash,
right.
which
right.
you know actually helps let the fish know something happened. But then you're pulling it back, and once it's in the water, it doesn't weigh anything.
Yeah, right.
So you, it's not like casting a lead sinker out there for distance.
I like right. that you can fill it with different amounts of water and achieve a different balance, neutral balance in the water. A lot of times, like when you're using a rig for bottom and you want your rig to stand up off of the bottom a little bit, you can use that casting bubble, and it doesn't take much to put the bobber underwater, but yet it keeps your rig up off the bottom
and gives you weight to cast it with. Yeah, yeah. So that's actually pretty cool.
Yeah,
but we've just decided we were going to sit down and talk a little bit about fishing along the beaches, something all of us do. We don't ever get to do it enough because it's kind of nice just to walk down the beach and do some casting and
yes.
you know
yeah.
see the fish. But any final thoughts, Captain Mike, on
I'm just so happy to be here in the halfway studio that we have here. I'm just
yes. I think we could use a coat of paint, maybe.
Yeah, brighten it up a little bit.
Yeah, it's kind of like being in the fishing dungeon in here right now.
Yeah, you know, it's a work in transition is what it is. So
yeah, I think that's
this room has gone through a lot of metamorphosis, or
it sure has.
Yeah,
well, now it's going to be a studio until we get the video studios put back in the other room over there.
You go.
But any last thoughts, Jeff?
Keep your eyes to the ocean or the Gulf. You know, when you're down there fishing the shoreline, like I do a lot of times. I was down there the last month. I set my bobber bucket up. I turned around. I casted a cast net out for bait, and I got a little bit of bait, and I saw something coming behind the bait, and it looked fairly good size. And then I started to back up because it was like about a 4.5-foot bull shark, and he came up and bumped my bucket, which was only 10 feet from the water, from the beach. And then he proceeded to head up the beach towards Englewood Beach, towards the public beach. And he went by probably a half a dozen people that never knew he was there because they had their butts to the Gulf and they were looking for sand dollars and seashells and they never knew he was there. So.
Well, the good thing is they don't really care about people. They're not interested in us.
That was pretty evident.
Yes.
The neat part about it is I like the idea that they should be looking for them and see them, because that way when they see the fish in the water that isn't going to bother them,
it'll
they
cool.
jump, scream,
yeah.
and run towards
yeah.
the beach.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Everything you should not do. You
yes.
should just hang out. I
yeah.
mean, be quiet, be a stick in the water, and he'll go right by
yeah.
you. The more you splash and freak out, the more likely they are to come after you.
Oh, definitely.
Yes.
Yeah. So, they'll think you're bait fish or something in distress.
But I still enjoy watching them, bro.
Oh, yeah. 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 Yeah.
Well, you know, there's all kinds of things to do here in Southwest Florida, from fishing from land for bluegills and crappies, or to going out to the beach and fishing snapper and Spanish mackerel, snook right along the beaches, deep water gulf fishing, the harbor fishing, the
yep.
flats fishing. We're just really lucky.
We're living the dream right now with the weather
yeah.
temps and everything. I feel
yeah.
sorry for the people up north, but I'm glad I'm here.
Oh, yeah. 20 degrees is just not where humans should live. So
come on down.
Yeah.
This
yeah.
is Fishing Frank, Cap Mike, and Jeff, the one and only fishing instructor. And we'll see you next edition, Radio Fishing.